Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. This evening we'll talk about Israel's deal to deport African asylum seekers to Rwanda and Uganda. And with us tonight is Robert Mugabe. Robert is a Rwandan journalist. He also runs Great Lakes Voices, a blog that regularly discusses sensitive issues, according to him. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you so much. And good to be here.
You're very much welcome. And joining us also is Suleiman Mugula, a regular panelist. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us by phone from Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas.
Welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. As I said, our topic tonight, we're talking about this deal that Israel made with some two African countries to deport African asylum seekers to their countries. Israel is planning to deport tens of thousands of asylum seekers to what they call a third country. These are talking about almost 35,000 asylum seekers. Most of these are from Sudan and Eritrea. They arrived in Israel over a decade ago via Egypt, and most have fled war, torture, and other mistreatment. Maybe let me begin in Kigali with Robert there. Do the people in Rwanda, are they aware about this development? And if so, what's their reaction?
It's only the elites who understand the situation, who even have that access to that information. I wouldn't say that actually the whole topic and the discussion is up there, that everybody knows what is really going on, because the deal is not clear, like in which terms are they coming? Are they coming to stay here permanently? In Rwanda, we are a society which would welcome refugees by default, since most of us lived in the diaspora when we were not allowed to be into this country. So in that spirit, we are open, like Rwandans, we are open to refugees or asylum seekers who would love to come to Rwanda. Mm-hmm. But the issue of the Israeli migrants, I would call them, say, the African migrants to Israel who will be hosted here, the deal is not actually clear. Mm-hmm. The discussion is not there, and there is a scarce information coming from this deal.
I see. Suleiman, as Robert says there, the deal indeed is not very clear. What we've scanned from the media and from court records in Israel is that the two countries mentioned are Rwanda and Uganda, and we understand Israel plans to pay Rwanda and Uganda $5,000 for each asylum seeker it agrees to take in, each country agrees to take in. Do you find it awkward that leaders of these two countries have not been open to their people about this agreement?
Yeah, it is awkward but expected, because that is the trend. First of all, we have to agree that the deal is in existence because from the Israeli point of view, right from the top, from President Netanyahu, it is very clear that the immigrants are being deported to another country, to other countries in East Africa. So as far as the deportation is concerned, it is very clear, as evidenced from Israel, that the deportation is going on. Yes, even in Israel, the deal is taken as being secret, but it is more secretive in the receiving countries. But as you said, it is not a surprise if it is Rwanda and Uganda, because this is not the first deal. It only shows you the commonality in these two countries. One of the common aspects about these two countries is that these are benevolent dictatorial regimes where you have got absolute power being held by the president, and those who follow him and the clique around him. They take decisions on behalf of the country according to their wish, according to their understanding. This case is not the only case. For example, these two very countries, it shows you how much these absolute leaders have gone how far they have gone to destroy the institutions within their countries. The institutions in the countries are supposed to be aware these are serious national issues. The way they are discussed in Israel is the way they are supposed to be discussed in the countries where these people are supposed to be deported to. But they are not discussed at all. They are secretive because those who own the countries, those who have the power, they have got the right to do what they wish to do. And this is not the only delicate issue which they are treating the same way they are treating this one. For example, these two countries, and especially Uganda, they have been deploying soldiers out of the borders of Uganda in any country, in DRC, in southern Sudan, in Somalia, without consulting the relevant institutions, or to put it straight, that they don't even consult the citizens themselves. There is no debate which is done. They do as they wish. And this is one of the issues also. Very delicate as it is, they are doing the way they wish.
Yes, as you say, the deal actually is on. But let's hear what President Paul Kagame of Rwanda said in answer to a question from a Reuters reporter about over a year ago when asked about this arrangement.
Yeah, on that arrangement between, I will say for Rwanda, I don't know about another country, Rwanda and Israel. Yes, I know there has been this discussion, and it has been a debate in Israel. It is these Africans who have migrated to Israel as they do to many other European countries, and some of them either there illegally or others different status. The issue was Israel wanted to return them, take them back to the country they came from. And some of them are saying, no, if you took us back to the countries we came from, there is a danger, depending on how they left. Israel, where they are suggested to them, said, now, but can we take you to other countries? We will tell you which countries, and you will say which one you want to go to as an alternative rather than your own country. And I think there is, as I learned about it, there is some package they give them to leave. So we have been approached. Some of our people have been handling it, especially the immigration department. I don't know the details this far, but more or less that has happened.
Robert, the president doesn't have the details. Maybe some lower level immigration officers are handling this. Your reaction?
First of all, before I come to that reaction, I would love to say some few things about what my friend has said.
Yes.
My colleague has said. One, the country is receiving this. First of all, refugees, the people who went to Israel, they're coming from African countries. They didn't go to Israel because these African countries are better, so they wanted Israel. So some of them are from Sudan, others are from Eritrea, and others. So I think the distance from Sudan to Israel, it's very far than coming from Sudan to Rwanda.
Yes.
If they wished to come to Rwanda, it would be so clear. But
they would even walk.
It would be more simple than going to Israel. So the fact that they went to Israel is because most of these countries in Africa, as my colleague has been saying, they are the power is absolutely vested in the president. And coming back to the example he gave about the deployment of Uganda troops to, it is in my clear understanding that the deployment of the troops and matters pertaining foreign policy are left to the president, even in the other democratic countries, because I don't see the prime minister of England going to deploy, of UK going to deploy the troops to, for instance, to Afghanistan or Iraq, he first needs to consult the parliament and it becomes a public discussion, because these are the most things we trust our governments to do. But there are some serious issues, for instance, which we do not allow the president to do himself alone. First of all, it's bringing other people into this country. These are the issues which might be discussed in the parliament. These are the issues that would be discussed in the media, even talk to the people themselves, the people, because these are the people who are going to live with other people. It's the community, it's the society of Rwanda are going to receive another big group of people. So this is different from deploying troops. Mm. This is like bringing people to this land. Mm. So that, having said that, we need to discuss about that. So about the president saying that he has no details, if he has no details, who has details? You want to tell me immigration? Immigration, as he said, it is a department. But a department of what? It's a department of national intelligence. Mm. So you cannot say that the national intelligence, which reports to the president, they are privy to information which the president doesn't have. That's not true. That cannot happen.
I see.
Like, at least according to my knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, mm-hmm. It cannot happen. The second thing is, I don't know if this is 5,000, you said this, is it $50,000?
$5,000 per head.
Okay. Mm. I don't know if this money is going to be given to the host state, but there is a package, according to my information, to my sources, that package which Israeli government is giving to these refugees.
Yes.
However, having said that,
yes,
some of these refugees were here some time back, even in Uganda. They also left. They left to other countries because they couldn't cope up. Like, for instance, it's not true that what these refugees from Sudan, I mean these immigrants from Sudan and from Eritrea, that they are actually running out for political reasons. No, actually, most of them, they are not employed. Most of them, it's a result of conflict. Most of them, they are just... And when we are going to talk about, we are hosting people who, for instance, ran away from their unemployment in their respective countries. They had to go for the green pastures in Israel. So when we host them, the first check, the employment rate in Rwanda, even in Uganda, it's high. So if you bring them here, are you going to employ them? How are you going to? Because this package that will be given by Israel, will, I don't think that it will take them even more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
most of this, for instance, in Kigali is expensive than Kampala. So if you come here and you bring this package from Israeli, and these people are actually jack of people, there are very many, and you don't expect them to get a lot of cash from Israel. So when they come to Kigali or when they go to Kampala, how are they going to live? Are they going to be employed? Are they going to be given national citizenry? Are they going to learn the language? At least in Uganda, the society is so open that you have very many, 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 many tribes. Most of them, they even look like these Dinkas who ran away from South Sudan. It will be so easy for them to know who is who in Uganda than knowing who is who in Kigali. It's straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are you going to do with them?
I see. Okay. Clarifying on the package, there are two separate packages. According to Israeli media and what happened, it transpired in court earlier this month, Israeli government will pay the receiving country $5,000 for each asylum seeker. And then there's what they call a package for the asylum seeker themselves, which is about, they say, $3,500. So that's the deal. You land in Kampala or Kigali with that package, and I don't know what happens because, as you say, we do not know the details. Now, Suleiman, as Robert mentioned there, there are
You see, my brother, before you go to Suleiman, I have a problem about that package.
Yes.
$50,000 or $500,000 or $5,000 per head, which will be given to the host country.
Yes.
It is for what?
I wish I knew.
No, we need to be clear here. Is Israeli sending the immigrants to Rwanda? Like, is it this a human business? We need to be careful.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah,
that's why I have this program. And going back to what Suleiman was saying earlier, is if this was debated in Parliament, for instance, or if the people had been involved, the institutions of government had been involved, then we would know what the money is for and who receives the money. We don't know who receives.
But also, not only the Parliament and the institutions talking about, we need also to involve the people. Though the government is bringing them here, even the parliament can okay the deal, whoever, because the parliament here, it's government. I mean, it's not this in the parliament.
Yes.
Which will ask hard questions, maybe in Uganda, because they have opposition in their parliament.
Yes.
But
yes.
Things will be just the way the referendum happened.
Yes.
But again, these are the people coming live with Rwandans. They are going to be our neighbors. Are they going to live in the camps? To be our neighbors, we need also the debate needs to go to the public domain.
I see. Suleiman, your reaction?
Yeah. I think my brother has almost said everything. He has almost said everything, but one funny aspect about those war deals is the deceptive nature of the leaders of the two countries. You have listened to the president of Rwanda and the way he was deceptively talking about not knowing what is going on. I wonder whether there is anything which happens in Rwanda which Mr. Kagame doesn't know. I think even he knows how people breathe on the streets. He's being briefed the way each person breathes on the streets. So
okay.
We cannot say it is anything which he doesn't. He knows it very well, and it is under him. Number two, again, through this deceptive character of these leaders, they talk about hospitality. They talk about Pan-Africans in the way the president was talking. They talk about the 1951 Refugee Convention and so on. These very people who are being deported don't follow under that category.
Mm-hmm.
These people have not been running away. As my brother said, it's very far away from Israel, Rwanda or Uganda. So they are not running away from any danger from there. If anything, they run away through these countries to those sides. So we cannot talk about the Refugee Convention. We cannot talk about Pan-Africanism and so on and hospitality. Then the most disturbing aspect about it is that how can a country like Uganda be ready to take in more refugees? Sincerely speaking, Douglas and my brother, Uganda now is like one big refugee camp. One big UN camp. I think Ugandans have reached a level where they cannot take in anymore. The boundary, the border in the north is widely open. There is free movement from southern Sudan to the country. They are already making life so difficult for people within northern Uganda. In the south, people are moving in from DRC. People are moving in from Burundi. Of course, the Rwandese people, those ones are part of Uganda. They move in free anytime they want. You have got people from Somalia. You have got people from Eritrea. You have got people from Ethiopia. Uganda is having almost everybody, all in the name of Pan-Africanism. What Uganda needs to know is that much as the president wants to get fame and want to be known as a Pan-African and want to be known as a kind person, citizens of the country every aspect which concerns the country. The governments are there to protect national security, to protect national interests, interests of the people themselves. If you don't protect them, time comes when they can no longer absorb it, when they can no longer accept it. The way they are saying in Israel that the people in southern Tel Aviv are already tired of these people, even the people in Uganda may get tired. For us in South Africa, we have dealt with such cases where xenophobia has broken up. Xenophobia is not just because people are born hating others. Xenophobia is a fight against space, is a fight against opportunities. Once some people feel they are threatened, once some people feel they are unjustifiably being disadvantaged, they will fight back. Once they feel they are pushed on the wall, once they fight that, they cannot do anything. Because as you see all these refugees pouring in Uganda, they are free to do anything. In Uganda, there are no camps. You just go and start a motorcycle business. You just go and start a taxi. You just go and start a shop. So you fight against the small resources which are available, the small opportunities which should have been left for the citizens. As a result of this, the Uganda government is so proud whatever it gets. It is so proud because some of its privileged class, they are the ones owning the rental business. And some of these people come in with a lot of money, so you'll find that renting in Kampala is so high. The prices are so high because of that few. The land prices, land property prices have gone so high. Even indigenous people cannot be able to manage them because there is a lot of competition on that one. I don't see any advantage as far as the countries are concerned, other than the advantage to the leaders themselves.
I see. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about Israel's deal to deport African asylum seekers to Rwanda and Uganda. Our panelists are Robert Mugabe, a Rwandan journalist and publisher of Great Lakes Voices, a blog that regularly discusses topical issues, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 6 in Washington. Robert, indeed, as Suleiman concluded there, what is in there for these two leaders? I won't refer to governments, the two leaders in Uganda and Rwanda. Is it economic? Is it fame? Is it humanitarian in nature? What do you think, if this deal indeed is true, as we think it is, what is there for these leaders?
You see, I'm sorry that I'm going to go controversial when it comes to that question. But before I go there, for instance, I will give you one example about Libya. Libya, there is a report that many African refugees who are who want to go to Europe through Libya. So by the West found out that actually they cannot contain the influx of refugees into their countries, so they had to come up with some fun initiatives to hold them to Libya by working with the Libyan authorities and the other Libyan armed groups. So that resulted to finding some of these Africans being sold on the market as slaves. So you would get $300-$400, which is not actually much. It is something like 400,000 Rwanda. So you can own a human being.
But you can get one for $5,000. You can send him to Rwanda or Uganda.
By then, Rwanda agreed with the African Union to send the planes to bring them here. Instead of being subjected to slavery, they come here to Rwanda in the spirit of this Pan-Africanism and the value of life. I had no problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's really great. That is very Pan-Africanism and humanitarian. But here we are talking about our fellow African brothers and sisters who have been to Israel to look for green pastures. Israel rejects them. Whatever the claim they have, I don't know. They say their land is so small, what, but I don't know. And I don't think that Rwanda is bigger than Israel. How? Yeah, it's all about the heart, because my father was born in Uganda. I was born in Uganda, too. Uganda hosted us until we came back in 1984. So the issue here is the attitude and the mindset behind everything.
Mm.
The only troubling facts with the developments with this asylum seekers in Israel who are going to come to Rwanda and Uganda, that there is also package.
Yes.
That's one thing. Package will be given to host country. So what is that package? If Israeli government, if Israeli court did not speak about this package, is it incentives? Is it kind of encouragement? Is it what? But what I know for the fact is that both Uganda and Rwanda are also looking for Israeli friendship so much because it is this intelligence, international intelligence organizations that keep them in power. So, so they are looking for political backing and friendship with this country, whereby even, for instance, even though right now, for instance, if President Trump decides to deal with the president here or the president in Uganda, to bring other Africans to Rwanda and Uganda, it can be possible since they want Washington backing more than anything.
Mm.
Because it is not their people that keeps them in power. It's this powerful country's big brother keeps them in power.
Yes.
So another thing is this saving of human beings, this thing of package, this kind of corruption, this kind of, I don't know, It is very disturbing and it makes me really bad. It brings it out of me.
I
don't understand what this is. Israeli saying these people to Rwanda.
Yes.
But simply, for instance, people from South Sudan, if they get fed up, for instance, these asylum seekers, if they get fed up with the Ugandan life, they can easily cross from Juba.
Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's give Suleiman. Suleiman, 30 seconds. We're running out of time. 30 seconds, Suleiman, you're summing it up. 30 seconds, please.
Douglas, it is very disingenuous for both the international community. The UN is well aware, but they have closed their eyes to it. The international community is well aware. They have closed their eyes, kept a blind eye to it. That is being disingenuous, and because the problem is not sending these migrants to Uganda or Rwanda. The problem is helping the countries where they come from. The problem is sorting out the cause of the movement of these people, sending them back to Uganda. However bigger package you give the government or the individuals in government, it won't stop them from moving to other countries or moving back to Israel.
Yeah, okay.
So I think the international community needs to think about solving problems in these very, very countries where these people come from. Plus others, even like Uganda, who have the same problems like those countries where those people run from.
All right, gentlemen, we are out of time, but that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Robert Mugabe, a Rwandan journalist and publisher of the blog Great Lakes Voices, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having
us. You're welcome. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganya, and our engineer was Edris Regis. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington.